Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and on today's Basic Gospel program, we continue with our study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide, based on the book of the same title by Bob Christopher. I hope you have your copy. If not, you can go online to basicgospel.net and click the Simple Gospel book link on the right-hand side of the home page. Now, this is a study edition, so we will not be taking live calls today, but the voicemail line is always open, so you can get your questions to us at 844-322-2742. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. But for right now, it's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We are starting a brand new chapter today, chapter 7 in the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. The title of this chapter is From Fear to Faith, and this is one of the most practical chapters in the book, and it really helps us address some of the fears that we have as human beings, why we have those fears, and why those fears keep us from truly enjoying the fullness of who we are in Christ Jesus and experiencing His life to the full. Now, many times when we talk about the finished work of Jesus Christ and the fact that our sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ, we get all kinds of reactions to that. People hear it, and some people rejoice, and they're so excited to hear this good news. They embrace it. Their hearts overflow with thankfulness. Others are a bit more skeptical when they hear it, and they try to ponder what's being said, and they start looking at the Word of God, and then maybe weeks later or months later, they come to grips with the fact that it is finished. And then there are other folks that just rebel right out of the chute. They don't want any part of it. They don't want to listen to it. And they respond back saying, gosh, when you sin, you've got to do something. You've got to ask for forgiveness. You've got to be contrite and repentive and all of these sort of things. You got to do something. You just got to do something. This thing that you're talking about, the fact that Jesus died for all sins, His blood has been shed once and for all. His blood took away everyone, and because of His blood, you've received forgiveness of sins. That's just too easy. That's cheap. That's cheap grace. And so they rebel against it. And we've had so many of those phone calls. People will hear us talk about the fact that it is finished, and they'll pick up the phone and they want to argue. And I start this chapter 7 in the book Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, with a story about one lady from New York who just was so argumentative, wanted to argue over the fact that Jesus said it is finished, wanted to argue over the fact that in Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, wanted to argue over the fact that as children of God, our sins have been forgiven on account of His name, and wanted to say that no, those are just positional things. Those aren't true of us experientially. We've got to do something. And so she had a whole list of things that we're supposed to do when we sin. And I think that's a question that all of us ask at one time or another. What are we supposed to do when we sin? Well, this particular chapter is going to answer that question, but it's going to do so by introducing us to a different question, a better question. So let's dive in. Let's dive into chapter 7 and start looking at all the passages that are going to move us from fear to faith and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to start with a brief review, things that we've looked at in the previous chapter. We're going to start with John 19:30. So, what did Jesus cry out from the cross according to John 19:30? Well, these three words, "It is finished." Here's what John says. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So what do you think these three words mean? What does this phrase mean, "It is finished"? Well, it's a Greek word, tetelestai. In the middle of that is the root word telos, and that is to accomplish a goal, to bring a task to completion. So God had given Jesus a task, And that task was to deal with sin once and for all, be the final sacrifice for sin. And when he said, Tetelestai, on the cross, he was saying, the task has been completed. What God has given me to do, I have brought to completion. There's nothing more to be done. And to solidify that, God the Father accepted that sacrifice on our behalf. God the Father was propitiated as far as the sin issue was concerned. So what do those three words mean? It means that the work that needed to be done as far as the sin issue was concerned had come to a completion, had been finalized, made complete in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the writer of Hebrews explains this, really expands on that, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 17 through 18. And here the writer says, then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. So Jesus cried out, it is finished, on the cross. And in these words in the book of Hebrews, we see exactly what that means. God is going to remember our sins and lawless acts no more. Why? Because they were dealt with at the cross. Jesus dealt with every single one, not just a few, not just ones that he was comfortable with. No, he looked at your entire life, and he took upon your sins. He bore your sins and my sins in his body, and he died in our place. That's what Jesus did. He finished the work. And because he finished, God says he will remember our sins and lawless acts no more. And where these have been forgiven, notice the past tense, these sins and lawless acts have been forgiven. Sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. So what is the writer of Hebrews saying here? That there's nothing more to be done. His sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ, was sufficient to take away our sins once and for all. So have your sins been forgiven according to this passage? Absolutely. That's good news. Now, if I can get this page turned, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we read this amazing passage. In him, that's in Christ Jesus. So here's what happened. You were born into this world in Adam. So Adam was your family head. So everything that occurred to Adam was passed on to you. He died spiritually. You came into this world dead spiritually. You needed to be saved. You needed to be made alive. You needed to be transferred out of Adam and placed into Christ Jesus. Well, that happened the moment that you believed the good news, the moment that you believed the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You were placed into Christ. And so Paul says, in him, in Christ, that's where you are. That's your realm of existence, in Christ Jesus. So in him, we have redemption through his blood. He's paid the price, the forgiveness of sins. So are you in Christ? If so, what do you have? Well, here's what you have. You have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That is your present possession. That is your gift of grace. Now, this is all in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on you with all wisdom and understanding. So this forgiveness that you have in Christ Jesus is a gift of grace. So based on these particular passages, that Jesus said it is finished, that God remembers your sins no more, where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin, and in him you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What do these verses suggest that you need to do when you sin? How do these verses answer the question, what am I supposed to do when I sin? Well, there's nothing you can do to bring about more forgiveness. If you needed more forgiveness, Christ would have to shed his blood again. Well, he died once for all sin. So he's not going to die again. When we see him coming back, it's to bring salvation to those who are awaiting him. He's not going to deal with the sin issue again. Why? Because he dealt with it. So there's nothing he's going to do, and there's nothing we can do to bring about more forgiveness. The only thing that we can do is to respond in faith and to say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, why would we be trying to do something else? Why would we think that there is something more for us to do? Well, that's where this thing called fear comes into play. We're afraid that if we don't, something bad is going to happen to us, that we're going to experience some type of punishment in our lives. And that can range from, being taken behind the spiritual woodshed and getting a spanking, or losing a loved one, or becoming ill, or anything that we can think of. We think something bad is going to come into our lives because we've sinned and we haven't done anything about it. Now, that's where I lived most of my life as a believer in Christ for the first 8 or 9 years as a believer in Christ. I walked on eggshells. I thought that any moment God was going to unleash his punishment on me. I certainly deserved it. And even though I begged and pleaded to keep that away from me, I still had this underlying fear that at any moment punishment was going to come into my life. And I know in telling my story, I've met many others who experience the same thing. So how do we push that fear aside, and how does that fear turn into faith? Well, we'll get to that in just a few minutes. I want to remind you that you are listening to Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. We're so glad that you are with us today, that you are tuned in. This is such an important topic, and this is a topic that we need to get out to as many people as possible. And I hope that you will share this message with your friends, that you will have them tune in and to learn how they can go from fear to faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you haven't already purchased a copy of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book or the study guide, we encourage you to do so and join us each Friday for these studies. You can go to our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. There is a image of the book cover. Just click on that and order your copy. And while you're there, consider making a donation to Basic Gospel. Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We rely on your generousness, your generosity, your faithfulness to help proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And join in with what God is doing through this this outreach. Help us get the good news of Jesus Christ out to as many people as possible. So when you click on that Simple Gospel, Simply Grace image, be sure and order your copy, maybe order several. And when you do, consider making a contribution to Basic Gospel. So back to our study. We are on page 50. On the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. Now, I accepted Christ at a church youth camp the summer between my sixth grade year and seventh grade year. That was the first year we were allowed to go to church camp, and I went looking for a fun time. That's what I went to church camp to experience, a lot of fun, just good times with my friends. And yeah, I knew we were going to have some preaching and things that I would have to endure, but I was willing to do that to get all the fun that was going to come my way. Well, the last night, something miraculous happened to me. I got tuned in to the message. The pastor started talking about the death of Jesus Christ, and he actually play-acted what Jesus might have gone through. And it was so mesmerizing to me. It just captured my full attention. And at the end of that message, I knew that I needed Jesus. And so in a simple prayer of faith, I simply received Jesus. I said, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you that you've been raised alive, and thank you through believing in that you will save me. And so I received Jesus Christ. Now, after that, I knew something had happened to me, but I wasn't sure what it was, and I didn't know how to live out this newness of life, how to walk in this newness of life. So I tried through human effort to be God's guy. Well, that didn't work out so well for me. And I got into all kinds of things that I knew I shouldn't get into. And one of those things, I got involved in a shoplifting gang. So we would go around to various 7-Eleven stores or other drug stores and that sort of thing. And we would shoplift, steal is the real word, this little breath freshener called Banaca. And we would steal some other things as well. Well, one day or one weekend, I was spending the night, spending the weekend with one of my friends. And we went out and we shoplift some Banaca. And then we also got a big lock. Why we got that, I don't know, but we did. Well, the next morning, I went home. And David's mom came up into his bedroom and started cleaning up, and she found this lock. And so she asked David about it. Said, David, where'd you get this? Where did this come from? Well, David felt guilty because he knew we had stolen that lock. And so he spilled the beans. And not only did he spill the beans on himself, he included me in it. Bob was there. He was actually the one who did it. Well, you know what moms do. They talk. So David's mom picked up the phone and called my mom and explained to her what David had told her. And so the next Monday, I went to school. I was supposed to go to band practice after school. I decided to skip that, and I went to deliver the paper route that I had started months before. And so my mom drove around the route and found me, and she rolled down her window and said, get in the car. And I said, no, Mom, it's a beautiful day. And I thought I was in trouble because I had skipped band class. But finally she looked at me and said, Banaca. And I knew I was had. And I had never felt as guilty in my life. I knew I had disappointed my parents. I knew that I was a big disappointment for them for stealing these things. And I knew they were going to have to punish me. But I also thought that God was going to bring some form of punishment into my life. And that's what I was really afraid of. And I lived with that fear for many, many years following. And that fear grew and intensified because I succumbed to other temptations as I got into high school and into college. And I thought, oh my goodness, I am just a mess. I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to be God's guy, but it's not working. It's not happening for me. And so the only thing that I know is that God is going to have to punish me at some point in my life. Is it going to be today? I don't know. How about tomorrow? I don't know, but it could be. So I walked on eggshells as far as my Christian life was concerned, knowing that at any moment, God could unleash that punishment into my life. Now, here's what I tried to do. Every time I blew it, every time I gave into a temptation, I had a formula. I would confess that sin. I would ask God to forgive it. I would promise that I'm going to do better tomorrow. And so I would go out the next day and I would try to do better. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to sin. And the more I thought about sin, the more the temptation to sin grew inside of me until I didn't have the strength to overcome, and I would give in again. And so I would repeat the formula, and I would repeat it the next day, and then I would repeat it the next day. And finally, I got to a point and I said, maybe I'm not even saved. Maybe this thing that happened to me at that summer camp wasn't real. It wasn't genuine. So I started adding to the formula. Now, please, Jesus, come back into my life. Please, Jesus, come back into my life. And I must have prayed to be saved, you know, 400 or 500 times during that time period. Why? Because I was scared to death that I had crossed a line as far as my sins were concerned, and that someday God was going to punish me for that. So let me get personal with you. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever thought in your life that God's punishment was just around the corner, that could show up in your life at any given moment? Did you just live in fear? So ask yourself that. Look back at your life. Maybe you're going through that right now. Maybe you're anxious about tomorrow because you know the sins of your past and you're not sure that those sins have been forgiven. Well, then look and ask yourself, well, what are you doing about that? How are you trying to get rid of that fear? How are you trying to stave off God's punishment for another day, to push it down the road a little bit further? Ask yourself what you're doing, and then ask this question, is any of that making a difference? Now, for me, that formula that I express day in and day out, day in and day out, here's the thing. It didn't provide a remedy for my fear and guilt. I was still fearful. I still felt guilty. Those things never went away, and I never felt forgiven. I didn't know if my formula worked at all. Now, here's the reason, because I was relying on the things that I was doing instead of looking to the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's where our eyes need to go. That's where our heart needs to go, to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Well, what are we going to see there? We're going to see the love of God in action. And what is that love going to do? That love is going to push out the fear that is inside of us. Here's what John had to say. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Why in the world was I walking on eggshells? Why was I living in fear? Because I was fearful of God's punishment. I knew I deserved it, and I was afraid that it was going to show up in my life at any given moment. That's what I was scared to death of. And so I was doing anything and everything I could think of to try to appease God, to try to get him to look down on me in favor instead of anger. Well, none of it worked until I started to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So here, John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. What is the perfect love of God? It is the love of God that sent Jesus to die for your sins. Not just for some of them, but for every single one. So the punishment that you were fearful of was transferred from you to Jesus Christ. Every ounce of punishment that you deserved because of your sins went upon Jesus. He became that sin offering. He offered his blood to God the Father. God the Father was pleased to accept that blood as the final sacrifice for your sins and for my sins. And when we received him, he gave us that gift of forgiveness. That is the perfect love of God. So when I finally started to understand that Jesus had forgiven all of my sins, that fear started to go away. That fear started to turn into faith. And that's what can happen with you as well. If you will rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, begin to give thanks to Jesus for the forgiveness that he has given to you through his shed blood, you will see this fear starting to diminish in your life, and eventually it will disappear. This is how you turn fear into faith, through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for being with us today. We will continue this study next Friday. We'll dive a little deeper into the finished work of Christ. But now, have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus. We'll see you Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel.